स्थापितामेन भूतले स्वयारूपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हे वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 21 इति व्यवसिता राजन् हर्याश्वा एकचेतसः प्रययुस्तं परिक्राम्य पन्थानम् अनिवर्तनम् हरे कृष्ण इति व्यवसिता राजन् हर्याश्वादिकचेतसायुष्टं परिक्रम्य पन्तानमनिवर्तनम् इति व्यवसिता राजन् हर्याश्वादिकचेतसायुष्टं परिक्रम्य Mothers, iti vyavasita rajhan haryashva ekachetasa prayustam parikramya antanam anivartanam इति व्यवसिता राजन् हर्याश्व एकचेतसः प्रययुष्टं परिक्रम्य अन्तानामनिवर्तनम् इति दास व्यवसिता being fully convinced by the instructions of Narada Muni Rajan, O King, Haryashwa, the sons of Prajapati, Prajapati Daksha, excuse me, Ekachetasaha, all being of the same opinion, Prayayu, left, Tam, Narada Muni, Parikramya, circumambulating pantanam on the path anivartanam which does not bring one back again to this material world. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, Shukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusions. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Purport. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciples, quote, take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life, end quote. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life, and the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryashvas did not consider pious and impious activities. The materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population. That would have been pious. But because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the shastric instructions that they should give up this material world. And as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe, for even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmaloka, one must return again, Kshinye Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. The endeavor of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 16, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartinor juna mamu petitukonteya punarjamanavidyate. Quote, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery. Rain, repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Hare Krishna. So Narada Muni has instructed the Haryashvas with the riddle, and now we're hearing the result of his instructions. They become his disciples. So what does it mean to be a disciple? That is kind of what we're hearing about in this verse, Prabhupada's first sentence. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. So that's what we're hearing about, the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. Understand? Krishna says, not Krishna, Namayogendra says his famous verses there. Also encapsulated in one verse, very beautifully, are the duties of disciple and spiritual master. Famous verse, Tasma Gurum Prapadyakta Jignasu Shaya Uttamam. Shabda Parecha Nishnatam Brahmani Upashamashayam. You know this verse? 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 21. Write it down. Take note of that. Rupa Goswami quotes this verse for what it means to accept a spiritual master. First is mentioned the duties of a disciple. Tasma Gurum Prapadyakta Jignasu Shaya Uttamam. Tasmat refers to this verse. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punara Vartino Arjuna. What's the translation of this verse? Don't look at the screen. From the topmost planet down to the lowest, all our places. Why is miserable? Death, you have to die. Punarjamanavidyate. You want to die? You want to die? You don't want to die? You want to die? Huh? You want to die? So all of these places are miserable because you have to die. Understand? This verse explains the meaning of tasmad. In that verse, tasma gurum prapadita jignasu shaya uttamam. The word tasmad means therefore. So I always mention this point. You cannot start a sentence off with therefore. Suppose I open my class, therefore. Then no one can understand. What is therefore? You cannot start a class with therefore. You have to qualify it. And then you say therefore. So the verse tasmad, therefore, refers to this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar jamanavidyate. Understanding from the topmost planet, down to the bottommost planet, all are places of misery because you have to die. Therefore, what is the use of this material world? Having come to that conclusion, Guru Prapadyeta, you take shelter of a guru, understand? And this verse isn't quoted, of course, in that section, but it's another verse which explains the exact same idea. So this is what I'm quoting is describing the duties of a disciple. So first duty, tasmat, means what? Therefore. What is therefore mean? Surrender. Approaching. Having understood, abrahma bhuvana loka punar, see? Yes, this first duty. See, no one hears. That's why Haryashvas, they got enlightened in such short time because they really hear nicely. And why it's taking us so long? This reason. I just said something, immediately I just asked for a playback just to see what is anyone hearing? Everyone's giving their own way of thinking it. Not what is actually being told, understand? Therefore, it's taking a long time, many births to get enlightened. Because we don't hear, understand? We don't hear. Are you hearing? No. At least we admit it. I'm not hearing. So first duty of disciple is? Yes, realize the material world is useless, waste of time, because I have to die and I don't want to die. This is called philosophy. One time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, you can hear it. And devotees were playing the devil's advocate, speaking on these atheistic philosophies to Srila Prabhupada, and he would counter them. So the disciples were saying, Prabhupada, this philosopher says this, this philosopher says that. They were going on and giving different philosophies. And Prabhupada said, this is not philosophy. Philosophy means, jama mritu javyadi dugadoshan darshanam. Philosophy means that you have to die, you don't want to die. That is philosophy. I always appreciated that point. I thought it was a beautiful point. He said, this is philosophy, that you have to die, you don't want to die. So realizing this whole material world is useless because you have to die, you don't want to die. Guru Prapadita, you take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru. And why do you take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru? Because he has the knowledge by which you can come out of the world of birth and death. Not the knowledge by which you can become expert in material life. That's called material master. There's spiritual master, material master. Material master means what? What is your image of a material master? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Yes, huh? One's parents, material gurus. Huh? Teach you how to gratify your senses, like one's boss or something. How to build a golden throne. Okay, so this is your understanding. That's called material master. So you don't go to the spiritual master with material questions, such as how to live nicely in this material world. Why you don't go to the spiritual master with those types of questions? The bona fide disciple doesn't go to the spiritual master with those types of questions. Why? Huh? He's understood the futility of such questions. So he doesn't go to the guru with those questions. What types of questions he goes to the guru with? Jignasu Shaya Uttama. He questions about what is his highest potential in the spiritual world. Huh? Who am I? Why am I suffering? That is the beginning of the questions. Then who is Krishna? How to establish that relationship with Krishna? How to develop prema for Krishna? And join Krishna in the spiritual world and one of the four rastas. These types of questions will come up progressively in the bona fide disciples. And Jignasu Shaya Uttama. What is the holy name? What is the truth of the guru? What is the truth of bhava and prema? What is the truth of sadhana, etc.? The truth of the process and so on. He inquires about these things. Other things he's not interested in because he's understood its futility. So this is describing duties of a bona fide disciple. Then guru, shabda parecha nishnatam. Shabda means the shabda brahman, the revelation of the shastra. Understand? Shabda. And pare means the actual supreme personality of Godhead. Huh? Chanishnatam. So the spiritual master is fully realized in the revelation of Shabda and Pare. Understand? He has realization of the Shabda, the revelation of the Lord in the form of the Shastra, and he has realization of Pare, the personality of Godhead. Shabda Pare, Chandishnatam. By which he knows how to instruct his disciples. Understand? He can remove the doubts of his disciples. Because the Shastra is like a veritable jungle of sounds. Understand? Someone, just like this whole thing came up the other day with Chandramali Maharaj about Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashram. This is like an eternal question. Huh? This tattoo everyone wants to understand. Other tattoos, no one is so interested. You give a class about Holy Name, no questions. You give a class about Bhava Prema, no questions. You give a class about Guru, a lot of questions come. And you give a class about Brahmacharya Grihastha, so many questions are coming. Everyone wants to understand Brahmacharya Grihastha Ashram. So much so that when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kandambini is giving an example of persons who are not fixed in their practice, Anishita Bhajan Kriya. One type of anartha he mentions as Gana Tarala, which means thick thin. And then he says he will use the Shastra to justify both positions. And the Shastra has mentioned so many things, why householder life is the death of the soul, and so many, many verses are there. Then later on he'll say, but there are so many verses glorifying. Actually, this is a better position. By this position, I can exhaust my enjoyment. But then, in this way, he goes back and forth unlimitedly, quoting so many verses from the Shastra. And then he becomes bewildered, isn't it? Therefore, no end to this question. He becomes bewildered. So the Shastra is like a veritable sound, a veritable jungle of sounds. Understand? If you're walking in a jungle, you can easily become lost, isn't it? Isn't it? Have you ever had experience? Anyone here ever walked through like a forest? And you get easily, quickly bewildered, isn't it? I always get an example of wanting to use the bathroom. So you like kind of like mark a tree. Okay, I'm passing by this tree and then this rock and then over there I'll go to the bathroom. So no one will see me because it's embarrassing. Using the bathroom is embarrassing. Then when you're coming back after having done your business, then you say, was it this tree or that tree? Then you become lost. And then if the sun starts to set, you become frightened. Isn't it? So the Shastra is like this only. It's like a veritable jungle of sounds. And it's hard to make sense of it all, actually. So the Guru is one who is Nishnatam. He knows how to navigate that veritable jungle of sounds, like a forest ranger. So if you're in the jungle or forest and you're lost, and you meet one forest ranger, then he knows how to navigate and put you on the right path to get out of the forest, isn't it? Isn't it? So similarly, spiritual master is like a forest ranger, per the analogy. Not a direct correlation, obviously. Per the analogy, he is like a forest ranger who can help to navigate the veritable sounds of the Shabda. And why is he able to do that? Because Pare, he has realized the Supreme Lord. And he is gaining all sorts of inspiration directly from the Supreme Lord, how to understand all these confusing things. Why is that? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Vajratam Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buryogam Tam, Yanamam Puyanti. The spiritual master is 24 hours engaged in loving bhajan of Krishna, Priti Bhajan. Vajratam Priti Purvakam, isn't it? He's engaged in Priti Bhajan for how many minutes? Satatam Yuktanam, all the minutes. Nice. Like one Akadashi we're doing, trying to stay up 24 hours. We see it as an impossible task. You're trying to stay up, and then next morning, suffering tremendously. Aren't you suffering? Yes. I'm suffering, isn't it? How many rounds you chant it? How many rounds? Huh? Oh, usual amount. He stayed up. Huh? He didn't stay up. So you see, Satatam Yuktanam is not an easy thing, is it? Is it an easy thing, Satatam Yuktanam, 24 hours a day? So spiritual master, 24 hours a day, engaged in bhajan. He can sleep 8 hours also, but in his dreams, he's worshiping Krishna. When we sleep, dangerous situation, isn't it? So Satatam Yuktanam, Vajratam Priti is 24 hours a day engaged in loving bhajan of Krishna. So as a result, the Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yiramam Yantite, Krishna is giving him all sorts of inspiration to understand the essences of things. Tesham evanukam partam agyananjam. What is that? Aham agyananjam tamaha. Krishna says to show them special mercy. Tesham means unto them, so not unto everyone. Tesham means a category of individuals. What category of individual? Saktatam yuktanam bhajatam priti. That category of individual, understand? Not every one of us, but that type of person. Tesham evanukam partam aham agyananjam. Krishna says to that person, I give special mercy. What is that special mercy? I aham agyananjam tamaha, I remove the darkness of ignorance. How does he do that? What's the next line? I don't remember. Gyanadipena basvata, before that. Nashanyami atmambhavasto. He removes the darkness of agyana, ignorance, by bestowing atmambhavasto, realization of his transcendental form, nam, rupa, guna, like this. That's what is described in the commentaries. Srila Prabhupada's purport also. So that special mercy he gets, so he can understand everything in proper perspective. He can navigate the veritable sounds of the shastras, so he can give proper guidance to the disciple, and he can remove the doubts of his disciple. That's the point I'm trying to actually bring up. He can remove the doubts of his disciples. First of all, why is he able to remove the doubts of his disciples? Because he himself is Shabdapurecha Nishnatam. He is Shabdapurecha. He's realized in the Shastra and realization of the Lord. But also because the disciple is Tasma Guru Prapadita, Jignasu Shreya Uttam. Understand? If the disciple is not realized the futility of material existence, he has no faith in Guru. Guru Prapadita means faith in Guru. To take shelter means to have faith. No, that doesn't mean just go and grab the spiritual master's feet and don't let go in a very literal sense. Understand? Guru Prapadyeta means what? You have to have faith in Guru. Otherwise, there is no Prapadyeta. Understand? Sometimes someone may think to take shelter of the Guru is to always be close to the Guru. Huh? Follow him everywhere he goes. And in fact, a lot of movements outside of our own will try to use this particular point to grab people, that we can give you very personal attention. Whereas your gurus cannot give you personal attention. They try to make this point in order to grab people out of, this goes on sometimes. But you think by being so close to guru that you will actually be close to guru? You think just by following him around everywhere you'll be close to guru? Closest to guru is made by faith. Understand? Then the guru can be any distance. In that faith, you will have some connection with him. Otherwise, if you're very close to guru and you have no faith, then you commit aparad, isn't it? You'll see a guru according to the material perspective. What is that? Rupa Goswami says, Jista swabhava janitar vapushastra doshar napakuta tvam iha bhakta janasya pasha. You know this verse? Nectar of instruction, you don't remember? Drishta Swabhava Janitar Vapushashta Dosha. What is the meaning of verse? Yes, you should not see the guru from the materialistic point of view. Swabhava Janitar Vapu, his psychology, his Vapu, and make judgments about that. But if you have no faith in guru, the only thing you can see are those things. With your naked eye, you can only see body, isn't it? You can see body and you can see how he's expressing himself, his psychology, to some degree. But you're not actually seeing the guru. You're seeing his body, an external thing only. And when you have no faith in guru, that's all you can see. You have no access to transcendence. There are certain truths that are very hard to understand in Krishna consciousness. Understand? One truth that's hard to understand is guru tattva. Another truth hard to understand is the dham tattva, also is very hard to understand. Another tattva is hard to understand, Shiva tattva. Why these tattvas are so difficult to understand? Because these are spiritual truths that actually have touched the material energy in a very direct sort of way. So when you see the dham, what do you see? You see stool only. So many smells are coming. This is a holy place? That's how your question comes in your mind, at least when you first go. You try to remember the classes. Okay, it's holy, don't see materially, don't see. But look. Mind is getting very contaminated. Dham tattva is a little challenging to understand because it looks material. Shiva tattva is also very hard to understand because he also contacts material energy. So also guru tattva. These sort of things that have direct contact with the material energy our spiritual are very difficult to understand. The Archivigraha also. Very difficult to understand because they have direct touch with the material energy. Understand? You get my point? So the only thing that actually reveals these truths is one Shraddha, faith. Faith actually reveals the transcendence of these entities. Without any faith, you have no perception whatsoever. Understand? Without any Shraddha, there can be no perception of these transcendental truths. So Tasma Guru Prapadeta, Guru Prapadeta means he surrendered unto Guru, he has faith in Guru. That faith gives him that connection. It is not just a closeness in terms of physical proximity, but the faith that gives him that connection to Guru. Understand? Because of that faith, and also because of the spiritual master's qualification of Shabda Purecha Nishnatam, he can remove the doubts of his disciple. Understand? That's the point I'm trying to make. You understand? I'm trying to make the point, how is the spiritual master able to remove the doubts of the disciple? Because he himself is absorbed and has expansive knowledge of the Shastra and realization of the Supreme Lord. And also because his disciple is giving up the charm of the material world. He has taken shelter of the Guru by developing faith in him. And he is putting forth the existential questions to the Guru about how to achieve a position out of this material world. This combination allows for the removal of the disciple's doubts. Understand? Otherwise, there can be no removal of doubts. So my doubts are not being removed. I have to ask you questions. Do you appreciate the futility of the material world? No. Check. Do you have faith in Guru? No. Another problem. Do you have any questions about existential, sort of, who am I? Why am I suffering? I already understand those things. No, it's no problem. Understand? If those things are not there on the side of the follower, then he cannot be a proper recipient of the mercy. He cannot hold the vibration of his guru, understand? He cannot hold the vibration of his guru because he's lacking these sort of qualifications. So the reason I went through all of that is because the first line says, Vyavasita Rajan. So Shukadeva Goswami says, O King, he was able to fully convince his disciples, Vyavasita. Means he was able to fully convince them. That's the whole reason I just went through this whole little thing that I just went through, just to explain that first word. They have been fully convinced by hearing from Narada Muni. Why are they fully convinced? Because they are proper disciples, understand? And as a result of their being fully convinced, Haryashra Ekachetasaha. Ekachetasaha means their consciousness or their mind more or less became one with Narada Muni, so to speak. Understand? Became one. There's a type of psychological oneness in Krishna consciousness. Psychological oneness, but an ontological difference, right? So then the devotees of Krishna, they are one with Krishna. We also have this idea. They are one with Krishna. But what is that oneness? It is not a oneness in terms of merging, but a oneness in terms of psychology. Whatever Krishna's desires, they also desire. So also the bona fide disciple also becomes ekachetasaha. His mentality becomes like his gurus. There's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam, 9th canto. You know King Yayati pastime? The King Yayati pastime. This pastime where he wanted to take the youth of his children so he can enjoy sex life. He wasn't finished enjoying sex life. So he had 5 sons. He asked them for the youth so he can continue enjoying sex life. Shameless, isn't it? Shameless, but such is the nature of love, very powerful. So he had 5 sons. First son's name was Yadu. So he said, Yadu, give me your youth. Yadu said, no, I need my sex life. Because he knew Krishna will appear in his dynasty coming from him, so I need my sex life for service. So he rejected his father's instruction. He said, no. Then there were 3 middle sons. They also said no because they wanted their sex life for their sense gratification. They were punished. Then his youngest son, Puru agreed. He said, I owe so much to the father. Then he says this very nice verse, Uttamash Chintitam Kurya. This is a good verse on this Ekachetasa point that I'm bringing up. Proktakari tu madhyama adhamo ashadhaya kuryat akarta ucharitam pitu. 4 types of disciples are there. Are you hearing? This is Ninth canto, chapter 18, verse 44. Four types of disciples are there. Let's see which one are we. Maybe none of them. That's how bad it can be. Four types of disciples there. First type, best type, uttamash chintitam kuryat. The highest type of disciple, chintitam kuryat. He takes the idea of his guru and makes it his own idea. Chintitam, chinta means like literally mentality. It has to do with thought. So whatever the thought of his guru for which he's developed faith, then that thought, he makes it his own thought. This is the first type. And the idea, the way it's translated and expressed by Srila Prabhupada, is that he can know the desire or thought of the spiritual master before the spiritual master says anything to him. Understand? This is the first type, best type of disciple. Eka Chaita Saha. His psychology is one with the guru. So before a guru even says anything, he can make out what will be pleasing to the guru. This first type of disciple, best kind of disciple. Guru doesn't have to say anything. He knows exactly what to do by which the guru will be pleased with him. First type. Understand? Second type of disciple. Proktakari to Madhyamaha. Middle type. Second type is that he has to be told what to do. Do like this, do like that, do like that, do like that. And then he carries it out faithfully. That is good also, but it's second class disciple, understand? Proktakari, he receives instructions from his guru, and then he carries it out. Third type of disciple, Adhamo Ashradaya Kuryat. Adhamo, lower class, he's not too good. Ashradaya, he had no faith. He carries it out, the order of his guru. He still does it, but he does it faithlessly. He doesn't have much faith, and he usually develops resentment. He gets really irritated. Why are guru engaging me in this way? It's not proper, actually. Like this, because of Shraddhaya, he don't have any faith. He does so begrudgingly. You ever do service like that? Begrudgingly doing service? Anyway, I'm not trying to point anything out. I'm just, there's a verse saying like this. We can see. Maybe we oscillate between some of these stages. Then fourth type of disciple, Akarta Ucharitam Pichu. He doesn't do it. Guru gives an order, he doesn't do anything. Such a son, Ucharitam Pichu, he is like the stool of his father, stool of his guru. Understand? Guru is giving instruction, he does not do. It is said for a good disciple, suggestion is an instruction. This isn't a Shashuk thing, I heard this, I thought it was cute. And for a bad disciple, an instruction is a suggestion. Understand? Good disciple, a suggestion is an instruction. Because anything his guru speaks, he sees that the inspiration of Krishna is working through him. So it is directly Krishna asking me. So even sometimes Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is my opinion. And someone says, see, he's only speaking his opinion. Oh, this Krishna, he's God. His opinion means it is absolute truth only, isn't it? If Krishna says, this is my opinion, it doesn't mean like, among so many valid opinions, I'm just one of them. I mean, my opinion means this is the highest truth. So the guru is saying something to you, and you're thinking, okay, nice. I'll consider so many other things also, like this. He takes a suggestion of the guru to be literally a suggestion. Okay, let me see what else is in the marketplace. And then for a really faithful disciple, then the suggestion is an instruction. For a bad disciple, the instruction is a suggestion. Guru says, do like this, and he says, I will consider, among so many other things. And for a good disciple, a suggestion he will take is life and soul. Understand? So four types. First type, knows the mind of Guru, can anticipate. Second type, has to be told what to do. That gets annoying too. You know, if you have to be told every little thing in spiritual matters, after some time, he will also consider you lower. Every little thing he has to tell you, that he would not be happy to do also. For some time. In the beginning, if you're 5 years old, okay, you have to tell a kid everything. But if he's 18 and still needs that type of attention, it becomes a little annoying, you know? Now I'm getting old, you need to figure it out, isn't it? So one cannot remain childlike forever. Then third type, begrudgingly, without faith. Fourth type, doesn't do it. That person is like the stool, understand? Like stool. So Prabhupada's purport, he makes a nice point, quoting, I think Chanakya Pandit. There are two types of sons, or let's say Two things come from the genitals, as mentioned here, Prabhupada. One is putra, another is mutra. Mutra means urine, and another means sun. Both things, substances come from the same source. So if you are not a devotee of Krishna, you're not learning, and you're also broke, you don't have any money, then you are no better than your father's mutra. Prabhupada is cutting this here in the purport, you can see. You are not a devotee, neither you are learned, neither you have any money, then you are no better than your father's urine, isn't it? And if you are any one of those categories, particularly a devotee, then you are rightfully called as a son. This is the purport Prabhupada's quoting. So four types of disciples. So here the Haryashas become the first type, indicated by the word ekachetasaha. They can know the mind of their guru, what would be pleasing to him. And as a result of pleasing their guru, they circumambulate their guru. Why they circumambulate the guru? Because the guru is a manifestation of divinity in this world. All the revealed scriptures say that the guru is non-different from Krishna. Krishna's personality is multifaceted, and one of the faces of that personality is guru. So they are worshiping their guru, seeing him as good as God. Pantanam anivartanam, and then they follow the path that leads to freedom from this material world. They take to the path of bhakti yoga, because by bhakti yoga you become free from the material existence. Mamya avyo bishare na bhakti yogena sevate. Saguna samatita itnan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Are there any questions? Yeah. Acharya Nishtandan.
So this bona fide disciple becomes one in, you said, the psychology or the same desire as the spiritual master. So how is it that bona fide disciples can have different understandings or visions of what the spiritual master wants? It seems there's often contradiction despite two bona fide. I mean, shouldn't they understand what the guru wants?
Yes. That's because guru's desire ultimately is that we should work for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna is all-pervading and multifaceted. So why are there so many spiritual planets in the spiritual world? Why not only one planet? Only Krishna Loka. Why so many planets and so many different forms of Godhead and so many different types of devotees who worship those different types of forms of the Godhead? Because the absolute truth is multifaceted. And every face of the absolute truth has its corresponding worshippers eternally, isn't it? So the guru's desire ultimately is that we should all concentrate our energies towards the center. The center means towards Krishna. Instead of independently directing our energy towards our own centers. But we should all take our energies and offer to the center. But the center of Krishna is multifaceted. And there are so many ways to please Krishna according to the mood of the individual devotee who is trying to please Krishna. So because of that, there seems to be apparent contradiction. There really is no contradiction because the desire is to please. Just like, for example, sometimes within our movement, we may make it, sometimes when we're younger, devotees, we find it difficult to see how so many senior devotees can differ in so many ways in their opinions about so many topics. But ultimately, they are one. There's a oneness amongst them. Why? Because they all want to please Srila Prabhupada. So whatever apparent dichotomy is on the surface is really superseded by the fact that they are actually one in spirit. That oneness is to satisfy Srila Prabhupada and ultimately satisfy Krishna. So the contradictions that come up are only apparent, but they're not factual. And in other words, they're not to the point where there should be disintegration of relationships because of it. Just like also in the spiritual world, there seems to be so many contradictions on how to please Krishna. And then fighting immediately appears to ensue. But it's only apparent fighting. It's actually all bliss. It's all Ananda Maya Leela going on. Everything in the spiritual world is Ananda Maya Leela. So we've been reading this Tosi Leela in the evening class, and we're hearing about how you know, Tosi was cursed, Sudama was cursed, and they said, this looks like hatred is going on in the spiritual world. Bhakta Karl was saying like that. It looked like hatred is going on in the spiritual world. They're cursing each other like anything. Oh, but this is all Ananda Maya Lila. It is only apparent contradiction. And if you are devoid of Ananda Maya, your consciousness is not filled with that consciousness, Ananda Maya, full of bliss, you cannot understand it. When you see it, you see hatred going on. You see competition and envy going on. But when the pure devotees look upon the same thing, they see oneness. And they become ecstatic hearing those pastimes. So similarly, another in the same line of what I'm mentioning here, it's mentioned how in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the message that I always appreciated a lot, that's the most important book for Vaishnavas to read if they want to get attraction to holy name and also detachment from offending Vaishnavas. If you really want, because we all attach to blasphemy, a little bit of gossip, isn't it? Isn't it? Yes. Isn't it? Isn't it? Yes. We're attached to offending. If you want to get detached, you should read Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's there in Veda base only. Very beautiful book to read. There is mentioned that when the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are having some quarrel, Vrindavan Das Thakur said, we should understand this to be the Leela of the Lord. And if you take the side of one Vaishnava opposed to another, you will be destroyed. They'll be fine. Because it is Ananda Maya Leela going on, nothing will happen to them. But because you took the side of one Vaishnava opposed to another, you will be destroyed. Of course, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't develop discrimination while we're in this material world. There are many things going on that could be quite confusing. But as a general point, in order to protect the ebb of the heart, because even when we show discrimination in the material world, we have to be careful. So the background mood, even when we're discriminating, is like this. There's something going on here that I might not be able to understand. My intellect may not be able to enter into it. So it looks like hateful contradiction is going on, but maybe there's actually oneness there, and I might not be able to enter into that. One has to show such carefulness when dealing with powerful advanced Vaishnavas. And they may say things against each other that seem hateful, like sometimes Advaita Acharya would speak hateful about Nityananda. He's just a drunkard, like that. He would say like that in a hateful sort of way in front of all the Vaishnavas. And the scholars say Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu had bad relations with each other. The scholars, they write like this about the relationship between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. Why? Because the intellect has no entry into the Anandamaya Leela. So on the surface level, it looks like hateful contradiction, but it's actually all oneness there because they're wanting to please Guru and Krishna. So similarly, if they know the mind of the spiritual master, but the spiritual mind is deep like an ocean. There may be so many layers to that also. So I often like to mention this, that only in the beginning of spiritual life are things expressed in a very black and white sort of manner. Because we need to start to try to make some sense of what we're doing in this Krishna consciousness movement. But as you make advancement in your own discrimination and your own Krishna consciousness, you realize that a lot of the topics are actually gray. As you make advancement, a lot of things become a little blurry. They don't become so black and white anymore. So I always say that the doorway is black and white, but once you enter inside the room, it's all gray areas there. So much gray areas there. And you hear many advanced Vaishnavas. You hear one advanced Vaishnava, you say, oh, that makes sense. Then another one says something contradictory, you say, oh, that also makes sense. Then another one says something that contradicts those two, you say, oh, that also makes sense. And that way you become, well, what is it? Bewildered. Maybe all of it is true also. So in dealing with transcendental subject matters, we should not, especially in our neophyteness, we should not exhibit so much confidence to think that we are understanding everything perfectly well. And what's going on, especially with Vaishnava exchanges, which may be on the surface level hateful, apparently so. But it's actually oneness because they all want to please their guru, whose mind is deep and can be very multifaceted. And that's how I imagine. It's like in the spiritual world, so many forms of Godhead are there because it needs to, the Lord is reciprocating with so many types of devotees. So we have to be careful. Yeah.
Hey Krishna, thank you for your very nice class. I have a very specific question to ask, and sometimes If we don't use the right words, the wrong idea may get conveyed. So I've written down my question, I think. But just to preface it just slightly, I know you don't like long questions, so I'm going to try and keep it very short. But while Bibi Madhava Maharaj was here, one thing I came to really appreciate is that we're the products of our association. We are the products of our association. And as you were giving class and you were stressing on this importance of realizing the futility of material life, and you defined the definition of a first-class disciple, the way I was looking at this was that basically you could see it as a relationship of a disciple and a spiritual master, but also one devotee and a very advanced devotee, you know?
Well, one devotee and a very advanced devotee is the same relationship.
Right, it's the same relationship, exactly. So my question really is this. If one feels and that his spirit of self-giving is not being fully nourished, should he be concerned? And would this person then be recommended to seek out some association where he will feel challenged and the need to enhance one's absorption in one's bhajan? Or is it enough to hear electronic lectures, which is generally the methodology we use? Or is one to seek out some association where that mood and that challenging, that so that one's spirit of self-giving really gets pulled out of him? Do you see what I'm trying to...
Yes, and I my answer is usually somewhat general, but somewhat specific. It depends on faith. Faith is the entry point in bhakti. And faith is the means by which we develop in bhakti also. So that's the point. This point comes up from so many angles of vision. So one, it depends on faith. In other words, the reason I'm bringing this up is because my spirit of self-giving may not be evolving because of faithlessness, and not because I'm not being sufficiently challenged. That's a reality. If there is no faith, then you can associate with anyone. And in the beginning, you will find it challenging because anything new is refreshing for the mind. And then after some time, things tend to get hackneyed. And then you feel like, oh, I need to, now I've conquered this. Now let me conquer something else. Yeah, there's some of faith. It can be. I'm not saying it is. It can be an element of faithlessness. Because the rascal mind is always looking for the new flavor of something. Just like sometimes someone comes, let's say, to Chicago Temple, and they're just passing through, and they come to one of our evening Gaur Aarti Kirtan, especially, where we're like really wild and spinning around, and they're like, wow, they want to just drop wherever program they're at and come here. Sometimes that's happening. Of course, we don't mind. But I always tell them, many devotees would come up to me and ask me many sorts of questions. And I always say that only when you stay in a place for some time do you get the real flavor of the place. So you go, you come here for, you know, passing through for a weekend thing, and you see, like, when you come to the Festival of Holy Names, everything's like really ecstatic. And then you wait after a month and you see the austerities it is in living in the ashram with so many men. You know, going to sleep is a problem. Sometimes prasadam becomes a problem. You know, you go downstairs and... because so many men, they're guzzling everything up quick, fast, and you go downstairs, everything's missing. Now, all of a sudden, that place which they were thinking was so wonderful, thinking in a romantic way, they start to get the real flavor of that place after some time. So the tendency of the mind is to always look for that new flavor and not be satisfied anywhere. Therefore, Rupa Goswami teaches about Darya for this. This is one particular reason. Daryat is explained in many ways. One, daryat means that when there is obstacles, then one shows fortitude in the face of those obstacles. And then mental obstacles, the obstacle to always be dissatisfied. One of the austerities in the mind is to be content, isn't it? That's one of the austerities in the mind, austerity that we don't practice very much and very well. So Darya means that showing some fortitude. So there's discontent is coming in the mind through the influence of passion and ignorance, and discontent is coming. So showing fortitude. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quotes this verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Haridas Thakur says, you can cut my body into pieces, but I'll never give up the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. As an example to show the sort of fortitude required in devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that Bhakti Yoga book, those essays that he's written, he says for Darya, that I may attain Krishna in this life or the next life or after 100 lifetimes. But anyway, I will not deviate from devotion to Krishna. He gives this as an expression of Darya. Prabhupada tells the analogy of a woman. She wants a child, but she cannot immediately have it. She has to wait. So in Krishna consciousness, there's a stage of transcendental waiting. Tat tenu kampam sukshamikshamano vanjana bunjana evatma kritam vipaka. Prabhupada says advancement depends on our attitude, so this would be one aspect of the attitude that has to evolve. So sometimes, though, it definitely is the case that either A, one needs to take the association of advanced Vaishnavas around them more seriously, or in certain cases, one may need to reevaluate in connection with those that you already have faith in, because nothing is done in Krishna consciousness in total isolation. At least the successful things aren't. And so, given that we're not in total isolation, one can evaluate with those senior advanced devotees that one has faith in that this is what's going on internally. And in that association, try to navigate what is actually taking place. But I think as a general point, most devotees are just discontent because they're not practicing the austerity of the mind. We're too much influenced by passionate ignorance. So we're jumping like monkeys, in the Prabhupada said. Also, to be honest with you, as far as going deeper and intense and so on, that's just a matter of desire. It's not really a question of, in one sense, association. Association will manifest, in one sense, according to that desire. It means you're crying for that in your heart, then suddenly you'll see they're manifesting, they're unmanifesting. Like this, it is happening. And the shastras, that is how it is happening. So these sadhus are coming by their own free will in front of the eyes of someone. It's not like people are finding them. As such, they're generally just appearing by their own free will in accordance with the inner necessity of an individual. So Prabhupada said, he translated the word Krishna Rasa Bhavita Mati, this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said that this verse explains Krishna consciousness, where he derived the word Krishna consciousness from. And that verse explains how if you can purchase that greed, this greed cannot be purchased by millions of pious activities and, how does it go? By millions of pious activities and, I'm losing the language. There's only one thing by which you can purchase the spiritual world, and that is the intensity to have it. So sometimes the devotee is thinking that the lack of intensity is due to their association. I don't have a higher association, therefore I'm not intense. But from my observation of things on a personal level and also vicariously, people's lack of intensity because they're just not intense. They're not so serious about Christian consciousness. Huh? You're saying generally by getting the association, people, I say people may appear to shoot up, but and like a shooting star, they come down also. And that's generally what happens. And the reason is because it is true that in the association of Guru, everyone is elevated. Just like you see when Guru comes, everyone becomes saint, isn't it? All sorts of issues we have with each other, and when Guru is not around, we're fighting, quarreling like cats and dogs. Then Guru comes in, we're treating each other like brothers and sisters with respect and everything. Everyone becomes saint. Then Guru leaves, and then everyone falls, isn't it? So when Prabhupada was around, so many things were manifesting beautifully and wonderfully. Then when Prabhupada left, what happened? What happened to all those shooting stars? They were shining so brightly, and then Guru disappears, and all of a sudden, that light is disappearing. Because Krishna will come to test you. What are you really receiving from your Gurus? You think that by hanging around your Gurus, I already mentioned this point in class, you think by hanging around your Gurus all the time that you're showing I'm advancing myself, I'm becoming exalted personality. Then Guru disappears, and then Krishna will say, what have you really received from your Guru? That fire will come to test you. And then mostly everyone burns up in that fire. They don't, like Sita, she walked through the fire, came out unscathed. Most people walk through, finished. They're not coming out because they have not received truly from their guru. Narada Muni, 4 months, enough, and he took it to heart. So many personalities in the shastras are like this only. Haryashu is also so many. It's coming like this only. So why may I think that by that higher association I'm shooting up? Because it is true. When there is proximity, you can learn sadachar. It's something about what is Vaishnav character. You can learn the philosophy. You get an inspiration because you're attracted to the charisma of your guru and how he does things and all of that. But it's when guru disappears that the real test is coming up. Separation makes everything clear, isn't it? When you're together, things are actually unclear. In certain ways, it becomes unclear. Because when you're everything is apparently nice when you're together. It is a separation that really tests the love of a person, isn't it? Just like the story, you know, very famous story of Krishna having headache. So Narada Muni was trying to find the medicine. He went to the Vaikunthavasis, said, we need the dust, your feet dust, to cure Krishna's headache. So they said, oh, we cannot give. They weren't afraid of sinful reactions. They were afraid of committing offenses to the Supreme Lord. So they didn't want to give the foot dust. So then Narada Muni went to Dwarka to get the foot dust of the Dwarkavasis. They didn't want to give, but it's not because they were afraid of offenses. They didn't mind that. But they couldn't tolerate the idea of being separated from the Lord eternally in hell. So they was like, we cannot agree to this proposal. Then Narada Muni goes to the gopis, immediately they give the foot dust. So he said, don't you know you have to just commit an aparad and you have to go to hell eternally separated from the Lord? They said, if that removes the headache of my Lord for a moment, I am ready to go also in hell eternally. Of course, this story sounds beautiful, but if you really think about it in a practical way, it's horrifying. For a conditioned soul, at least for me. So you see, it is in separation that the true depth of love is actually revealed. It is not in this meeting. It is in the separation that the true love is met. So Guru disappears. When Guru is there, then everyone appears to have so much love for Guru. Everyone is in a deep service attitude. They want to please their Guru. And it all appears very nice. But then when Guru is unmanifest before our eyes, that time one's love is actually tested. What have I really actually received from Guru? So I know it does appear that way, that people, they have their association of some advanced Vaishnava. And that is our philosophy. That is a fact also. One has to, but what are you getting in that advanced association? Barely you're getting proper conception, so when Guru disappears finally, you're able to continue. Because the disappearing act, so to speak, will take place eventually, isn't it? Disappearing act will come, and that time you'll be tested what you have really received. I don't think it's a question that's easily, you can easily navigate so much. Like I said, sometimes in certain cases, association needs to change. Just like when we came to Krishna consciousness, we abandon our materialistic association at a certain point, which is very difficult for us. Then when you're within the community of devotees, sometimes it happens where you realize these devotees are only interested in sense gratification. And I need to switch. But that becomes tough because they're devotees. That one becomes more, at least the other one was easy. But this one becomes a little bit challenging. You start to say, oh, these devotees are only interested in sense gratification. So I need to change my, and it becomes a little bewildering. So this happens a few times in a devotee's life, so it's quite possible. But it's also my general observation on a personal level and vicariously is that generally it is very rare to find a person who's very serious about spiritual life to that extent. I mean, it's very rare. And it could be underscored to help us appreciate the rarity of such, you know, someone's really crying for spiritual life, something that I'm certainly not doing, and which is kind of somewhat an indication. Anyway, it can go on. It's not an easy topic to just gain perfect clarity. Like I said, a lot of topics in Krishna consciousness become a little bit gray because you can start putting in so many nuances to things, and then it becomes very blurry. But as a general point, this is my observation. And that's what I can share. So sorry, it's going on a little long. Is there anything else anyone wanted to say? Or yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thanks again for such a nice lecture. My spiritual master holds different events, like Sadhu Sangha and Poland Woodstock Festival, that sort of thing. Are those instructions for me to show up? Or they, you know, because my God brothers and sisters, they like drop everything and get there, and I'm not able to. So I feel some kind of way about that.
I have no idea. I can't comment on things like that. If there's any lack of clarity, you can maybe send them a letter and ask. Is your holding the festival itself an instruction for me to participate? Generally, those festivals are for the public, and they have persons in those areas who are assisting in those services. It's not that we have to have our hands in all the cookie jars, I have to be there for everything and do every service in order to please my guru. As a general point, but I don't know if that's, that could be the spirit of your guru also. I don't know him. So you can just ask. Is your whole conducting the festival itself an instruction for me to come and participate? And then gain some clarity on that. Okay, anything else? Anything final? Okay. Thank you all for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.